We're in chapter 4. And if you, hey ladies, if you know a lady you'd like to bring along, bring them along. Hallelujah. You know, have a great day. Enjoy each other. Hey, that's, I told you that song, God Lifted Me. I just want the chorus up here. I don't know, do you remember this song? I mean, right? I just need the chorus, Roger. Can you help him? Josh, where are you? Oh. Okay, I'll share and then we'll sing, okay? Because I want to sing that chorus. Just hang on, Roger. Don't ruin everything. And God just reminded me, because this message is about how God lifts us up when we need it the most, right? How much he loves us and how much he cares for us and how much he sustains us. You know, the last year and a half, I don't know what we would have done without God lifting us up, right? Being able to count on the love of Jesus, to be able to count on that in our life, to be able to walk through everything, you know, we've gone through with Zachary. And when I saw this portion of scripture, it just reminded me how God lifts us up. And I hope you'll see that in the scripture, because it's important. I mean, there were times when things looked the worst, and then God lifted us up. His love lifted us up. And we were able to sustain for that day. Sometimes it's just day by day, isn't it? God sustains us. We go through something in our life, and we just ask God, just help me today, right? Or maybe you're having a good day, and all you can do is, share the bubbliness of God's love to other people, right? And they see your smiling face and they want to run, but you don't let them. Too bad, right? So much, you know, over this past year, we've learned so much how to trust God and have faith in God and to believe in God. And it's a journey. All of us have to be on a journey. Your journey with God is different than my journey with God. And how God lifts you up is different. How he loves you. He loves us all, but I think there really is a uniqueness to how he loves us individually. And I think that's what John is trying to communicate to us in this portion of scripture. And he gives some commands and really some, many people would say, well, that's kind of harsh, but they're not harsh. You know what they are? They're commands so we can obey the Father and obey the Son, right? And obey the Holy Spirit. Amen. John wrote in the book of John, chapter 13 through 34, something Jesus said. He said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This love that God gives us is a love that we need to give to other people, right? It's something that John's going to share with us and talk with us about, how we take the love that God has given us and how that love is so amazingly strong because God sent his only begotten Son. And the proof is in his Son dying on the cross for us. It's proof that he rose again. There's proof of everything that he has done to this day. And when Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, It means that's something that we must follow and do. It's a definition, right, of us, for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Something we need to do. So John admonishes us over and over again how to be able to love, accept the love of God, and then to take that love and give it to other people. And it's a continual challenge. You know, throughout the New Testament, we see the same thing over and over again, right? Jesus himself talked about love and money, right? The most. And so how we take that and we begin to see how it has to affect us. Our love for others has to be in line with what Jesus has been telling us, not only in the Gospels, but what the other apostles have been telling us, that Jesus had this deep and sacrificial love for us. And I'll admit, I'm incapable of loving you as God loves us. But it doesn't mean that because we are fully incapable of not loving as God does, doesn't mean we shouldn't. It means that God is challenging us to be the best we can be and do what we can do to love others, to love him with all our heart, and to properly carry that out on our journey of faith. And as I read this passage, I realized the enormity of God's love and the varied benefit of that love in our life. I saw that, you know, through the time we spent at the hospital with Zachary of you know, chemo and then stem cells, and everything was going to be okay, and then it wasn't okay, right? Because the chemo kept doing its job and the stem cells couldn't do what they were doing until the chemo gave up. And how many times we prayed by the side of the bed and we put music on and Joshua. I want to sing this song. I don't know if you remember the words. Love lifted me, right? The chorus. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. No end in hell could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Well, we didn't need the words. Hallelujah. But for us to come to that place, to understand, right, how much God loved us and how much he pardoned us from sin and how much he has done for us should convey in our hearts and lift us up and say, I want to be like Jesus, right? As close as that represents. Because we aren't Jesus, we'll never be Jesus. But we come to that place in our life where his love so lifts us up and we have the faith and everything that goes with it. Because point number one here is, if you're taking notes, is that there's this evidence of love, right? John reveals the way our love is known and displayed in others. In verse 11, if you're there in 1 John, verse 4, chapter 11, we see how love is portrayed, right? Now, I'm going to break this down because it's easier to teach as I break this down. I hope you understand, right? In essence, what I'm doing, and I have been doing with 1 John, is just taking a scripture and breaking it apart, right? So we look at verse 11, we're going to look at verse 12. The first part, we'll look at the last part of verse 12, and so on, and we break this down. And so we have to consider the whole scripture in context, right? I don't know if any of you have this portion of scripture memorized, right? I know I have the first part. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and anyone that loveth is born of God. And he that loveth not God, for God is love. And that's where it stops. Right? Beloved, if God so loved us, now, right here we are in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jesus Christ set the example on the cross, right? Christ proved his great love on the cross. There should be no question on or as to how we should express and display God's love to others, right? In fact, we are expected to love one another. It is expected of us. And I know I shared this last week, but I want to share it again. We are expected to love one another. It's a command. Jesus didn't say, okay, if you want to, you know, you can love one another, right? No, he commanded us to love one another. We did it, Josh, thanks. We are expected to. And what this speaks of is an obligation to perform a specific duty, right? God gave us a command. When John says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, he's speaking of an obligation to perform that specific duty. If you want to write something down in your notes, write, God expects me to perform love unto others. And I know that we don't always love each other all the time because we might get upset or angry or whatever. If you've been married long enough, you've had a few spats with your husband or wife, right? And you're not quite sure that you're loving them at that one moment. What did I just say? that God expects us to, or gives us an obligation, right, to perform the duty of loving others. Did God ever say it would be easy? I'm not telling you it's not going to be easy. God never said it wasn't going to be easy. He never did. That's a double negative? Yeah, it is. That's okay.
Love is different from like.
Yes.
You can love people that you don't like.
Yes, you can. And we're obligated to. We are expected to. Right? And that's a good point. Sometimes we like people, but we don't necessarily love them. Sometimes we dislike people, but and we don't love them. But the expectation from God is that we do. Right? See, the challenge that I saw in this, and maybe you want to write this down in your notes, is so that you can remember. Ask yourself this question. Do I possess and portray the love that God is talking about? Not all the time. I admit that, but sometimes we just give up in that aspect because we don't think we can do it. But the more we... And as John goes through the scripture, the more we begin to look at his word and we begin to trust in him, we see that maybe we can do more than we think we can. Right?
So the question is, do we possess
Yeah. Do you possess it? Ask yourself that. Because in the beginning of verse 12, John goes on to say, no man has seen God at any time, right? And who's love? God is love, right? We know that God is love. And none of us have seen God. If you've seen God, come here and share your story, right? So let's have some fun. What do you think God looks like? Okay. I was hoping for just a little bit more. But personally, what do you think God looks like?
Light.
Well, we know he's 33 years old. God's 33 years old. He's what? Okay. Or we're in his image. Yeah. No, it's okay, but really, we were created in his image. Anybody else? Over here.
He shouldn't be older with any kind of, I suspect he's in better shape than some
of us. Well, probably because he doesn't eat. We're not going to have to eat in heaven, right? We won't be tempted with snickerdoodles or too much pasta or whatever.
Or sugar cookies,
right? That's right. We'll be eating from the tree of life. We have no need. That's what's so amazing. We will have no need. What do you think God looks like over here? This is the good, this is the right side, so this is the good side, right? You're the left side, and no, I'm just kidding. And what is, you see, we don't know what God looks like, but in a way we do. We do know. Because there are a lot of ways we could go. But what John wants us to simply see, and what he begins to reveal in this scripture, is even though we have not seen God, we have experienced the very essence of who he is. Come on. His love, right? If you have never seen him, you can experience him nevertheless. And you can know who he is. And we know that the character trait of God is, that love is just one character trait of who he is, but we can know him the most by the love he has for us. It's a great love. It's a deep love. And as our relationship grows, right, with him, and it gets deeper and it gets deeper and we learn more of him, we come to that place where I don't know everything of God, but I you know, in my relationship, I'm just speaking of mine, I've come to this place where I have this understanding, you know, of how much God loves me, and because he loves me so much, I want to give that love back. I want to share that love. Because in the end of verse 12, John says, if we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us, right? And we see how love is perfected. You see, when we possess genuine love for one another, it's a mark, one mark, right? Everybody goes, oh, he says it's the only, no, it's not. It's one mark of our salvation. If we genuinely possess that love for others, we are assured that God dwells in us. You see, genuine love is this, write this down. Genuine love is a byproduct of my salvation. Genuine love is a byproduct of my salvation. And I love how the Spirit inspired John, right, to challenge us and to encourage us, and how much God's love is perfected in us. Because when we begin to see maturity in our life, what happens is that perfected love grows. It becomes even more mature. That perfected love becomes complete. And it reaches what God intends. It reaches this intended goal, and that is for us to know how much God loves us and not to struggle with that love, but to be able to share that love with others. You know what? It's easy to love you guys because even you, Danny. Yes. Because you know what? We're on the same wavelength, right? We feel the love that we have for one another. But when other people come in, maybe at your place of work or your neighbor, or you got your neighbor screaming across the fence or whatever, right? And you're going like, oh my goodness, how in the world can I love somebody like that? Well, next time you think that, just think, well, God expects me to. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing how God works that out, honey? Speak up just a hair. This is John Shane's book, right? That's what John's talking about, right? How do we come to that place where we love? That's a hard one. You know, the whole scripture of, you know, the three guys who Jesus shared about walking past, right? Two of them walked past and the one guy stopped, right? Guy was beaten and he was laying by the side of the road and he needed attention, but nobody was attending. And Jesus used, you know, a Pharisee and a Sadducee. I can't exactly remember. But we know that the third guy was a man despised by the Jews, right? He was a Samaritan. And the Samaritan took the guy, cleaned him up, bandaged him, took him to an inn where they took care of him and said he would pay for everything. You see, that is the kind of love that I know doesn't sometimes happen overnight for some, and others it does. But it's something that God is challenging us to do and to be, right? Because in verse 13 and 14, John is saying that the experience of love, right? This is just point number two, the experience of love. John speaks of the experience, not only that we share with God, this love that we have with God, but we also experience the love of sharing that with other people. And it's a great benefit to us so that we can walk up to somebody and that is standing on a, or sitting on a street and begging and smells and... As John says in verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. You see, we have something that other people don't have. We have the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. Right? We have not only the portion of the Holy Spirit receive its salvation, but we also have the opportunity for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us the extra oomph we need, right? I don't know if you ever saw the Disney movie Turbo, right? It's this slug that gets...
Snail.
What is it?
Snail.
Snail, that's right, a snail. Slug, snail, whatever. They move at the same pace, right? And you know why I thought of that today? Because I was walking into the house yesterday afternoon. I was working out in the yard. And there on the wall was a snail. This big, about my eyesight. And I said, how in the world did you get up there? And I said, shame on you for trying to go into my roof line. And I put him down into a flower pot, right? But this snail or slug or whatever he was, he's a snail. He somehow through electricity gets him... He just gets this jolt and all of a sudden he can run as fast as cars, right? And he goes to NASCAR and or Indy 500, I can't remember what it was, and he races the cars, right? And you know what the Holy Spirit, you know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does in us? It gives us that power we need. You want to know how you can love others? You have to have the Holy Spirit inside of us. That's why John says, hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us. Who dwells in us? Jesus dwells in us. And we can do this because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. You see, when we're saved and experience that great love of God and we're indwelt with the Spirit, what that does to us, it comforts us, and it brings us to this place where we can experience the love of God and the mighty move of His Holy Spirit in us. And that Spirit guides our lives into all truth. That's what Jesus said, right? In Scripture. Because in John 16, verse 13, John said this, or Jesus said this, and John wrote this. He says, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. What does the Holy Spirit do inside of us? He leads and guides us. He gives us the truth, right? When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you and me. He will empower you and me. Because in verse 13, John goes on to say, hereby know that we dwell in him and he in us because he has given us that Spirit, right? He's given us this. He's given us. And we can find encouragement and confidence. We can have a possible assurance of salvation because we know that God dwells in us. John is reminding us that if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we have him in, and don't struggle with it. Because many today struggle with their salvation. Well, if I've done this, then somehow God can't love me. Listen, we all sin. Ask for forgiveness. And don't question whether you're saved. Because he loves you a whole bunch. Yes.
The problem I have is not one individual sin, but that it's, I can't stop doing a given sin. It just seems to go on from day to day, week to week, year to year.
Okay.
So, God loves me, and I know he's with me now, but sometimes I wonder why.
Yeah. Because he loves you, right? He doesn't give up on you. And see, that's the debate that's been going on since, you know, time began. When they're debating, well, can you be saved or not saved? Can you do some sin and mysteriously you aren't saved anymore? See, Satan wants you to believe that somehow you've lost your salvation, right? Throughout many years, I had people come back over and over again. Well, I have to give my heart to Jesus again because I've sinned so much. How could he forgive me? Right?
Yeah.
But see, I can't remember the other guy. There's the Armenian view and what's the other guy's name? Anybody?
Calvinism,
there it is. It's like, come on, head!
And Calvin followed a bunch of Augustine's teachers.
Right. And you're going like, well, who in the world is Augustine? Well, he was a philosopher, right? And so, John Calvin, and I can't remember Armenian's first name, but John Calvin says, once saved, always saved. Mr. Armenian said, no, wait a second, right? Because that's the debate that's going on in your head, right? Well, if you continue to sin, then somehow you lose your salvation. Here is my thing, and I want to share this with you. I truly believe that you don't lose your salvation unless you've come to the place where you deny God and step away. Because if you deny God, and then you say, I want nothing more of him, I denounce my salvation, then you've given up that. Right? Now, Calvin would say the opposite and say, no, even though you're saying this, you're still saved. So you have to bring these two together and come to this place where you understand, even though you're struggling with the sin in your life, and you go, God, forgive me for it, and then you run right back to it. Is God going to stop forgiving you?
No.
Do you think he will?
No.
See, here's where discipleship comes into play. If you need help, and you need help with a specific thing in your life to overcome something, there are others here who can help you overcome, can walk with you and encourage you and say, listen, today's going to be the day that you'll make it through this sin. And then you do your best to make it through that sin. And then it's another day. You see, sometimes when we allow certain things to overtake us, it has to be a day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, second by second, choice in our life to say no, right?
Alcoholics Anonymous, they teach people not to swear off alcohol for the rest of their life, but to swear it off for today.
Yeah.
Lord, I can't control what's going to happen for the rest of my life. That's too much for me.
Yeah.
But for today, I give you today.
I think we should have chips, so if we've made it 1 week without doing a certain sin, you get a chip, right? or at least a $5 Starbucks or Dutch Brothers coffee. That is what happens, and John is telling us, listen, our God is bigger. The Holy Spirit inside of you, as the Holy Spirit dwells in you and as the Holy Spirit envelops you, you can overcome these things. It's not going to be easy, but you can. You can through Jesus Christ. You can through the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, right? You can. But it's a choice. All of us make choices, don't we? We choose whether we're going to continue to do something or not, right? It's our choice. Because what did James say in James chapter 1, right? It isn't God, right? God doesn't tempt you, right? If you go back up to James. James chapter 1. Verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. And after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Right? And John says, don't be deceived. So how do we overcome? Well, we have to choose to overcome. We have to choose and say, you know what, Father? I know that you can help me through Christ, that I can do all things, because Jesus told us that, right? And we have to tell Satan with Scripture to take a hike, because love emboldens us to confess. You see, in verse 14, John says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. What John here reveals to us is that the redeemed of the Lord will say so, right? Those who experience the love of God and are filled with the Spirit have understood and testify of Christ being sent of the Father as the Savior of the world. And our witness will vary from time to time and will differ from the ways of others, but the message will come forth and be consistent. It is impossible to continually refrain from sharing our faith because of what God is doing inside of us. We can be scared, right? We can be afraid. Those are emotions and feelings. But the love that you have for God inside of you should compel us, right? Because in the next verse, verse 15, John is expressing what love is. Number 3. John goes on to say, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God dwells in him and he in God. Do you confess today that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you confess? Yes. Amen. I confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Yeah, should we say it louder? Amen. Yes. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he dwells in me. He dwells in us. See, there's this aspect of our obligation to confess Christ as the Son of God that cannot be denied, that we have to be able to share that with others. The love of God is simply this, sharing, right, his love to other people. And I think it's essential to our salvation. It's a part of who we are. And I look at this verse and I'm drawn to the fact that God would want to dwell in us. And he would make a way for us to dwell with him. That his graciousness and his love See, when we talk of favor, God's favor rests upon us. If we believe that or not, that he loves us, that is expressed to us because of Jesus Christ. See, love will help us through any difficulty we have. I know that. I know that. It's hard to lose a loved one, isn't it? But you will get through this. Because you know what? We love you. God loves you. And if you're hurting, know what? We're here for you. God is there for you. And he loves you because of how much Jesus Christ has done for us. No matter what comes my way or I'm forced to endure, I know I'm loved by God and accepted within the family because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you're a Seahawks fan or not, right? Hallelujah. Yes. Now it's the XFL. It's the Seattle Dragons, right? I've already given my P's and Q's on that one. But the beginning of verse 16, John says this. And what he's doing is telling us something amazing. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. What this is John is saying there's this lasting faith. There's this lasting faith. But what he's doing is he's saying, do you believe? Do you believe? Right? Do you believe? Will you say yes, Deanna?
Yes.
Oh, cool. I believe, I choose to believe because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I cast away doubt and discouragement in Jesus' name. I tell Satan to take a hike in Jesus' name. I have all power and authority through what Jesus Christ has done to us. You see, Jesus enabled the faith in us to grow and to expand. And for us to have such a faith and to have such a love that we can tell the enemy that you will no longer cause confusion and doubt in my life. You will no longer discourage me because of the gracious love of Jesus Christ. You see, there'll be times when your faith has been tested. There'll be times when you're tempted to throw in the towel and quit. Never throw in the towel and quit. Your God is greater. Come on, you're getting a dollar sermon today. Not a 50-cent sermon, not a quarter sermon. You're getting a $5 sermon. Okay, you're getting a $5 sermon today. You can overcome through Jesus Christ. You can. Listen, I want to encourage you because John just encouraged me in the scripture as I was studying for this, because in the end of verse 16, John says, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. How amazing is that? And I hope you understand that the saved are in God and he is in us. When we are born again in Christ, we are filled with his great love and indwelt with his spirit. And being in Christ is the safest and securest place that we could ever be. But we have to trust that. We have to believe that. And that's what John is telling us. Satan wants to come in to your life and condemn you. And if you're like me, that's easy, right? Because you know, some of us, we just, You know what I'm talking about, right? Ugh. Yeah. Yep. You feel worthless. You feel down. You feel insecure. You feel this. And those are all normal things that we go through in our life. But the best thing you should have, and I'm not saying you never experience those, but what I'm saying is the God esteem that you have in you will help you to rise up. It's going to help you to rise up and say, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this with God. That because of God in you, you can rise up. Right? The Holy Spirit inside of you. Do you? No, that's okay. Do you want to overcome? Do you want to cast away those things that are that you feel are holding you back? Then it's time to ask God to help you rise up, to overcome those things. Because John said in verse 10, verse 28 and 29, he says this, and I give unto them, Jesus said this, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, he is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Hallelujah. No plucking. Tell Satan to take a hike. Say, you're not plucking me today. Right? I don't care how. I like the show Dirty Jobs, right? You ever watch the show Dirty Jobs with Mike?
Yeah, Mike Rowe.
Dirty Jobs. Yeah.
J-O-B-S.
Yes. He goes, it's long been over, right? The show's been over, but they do reruns all the time. I don't care how many times they do the reruns. I just like him. And yesterday, one of the shows, as I was sitting there watching, his job was to pluck ducks. They had this pillow company, right? And so they would get duck hunters who would bring the ducks, and they would, and so his job, was to put the duck into this machine that would pluck the duck, right? But he had to hold on it. He had to hold it, right? And it's like this big, they weren't plastic, I think they were rubber, and you go like this, and all the feathers would come up, and then you flip it around, and all the feathers would go, you know, and you're going, yeah. See, Satan sometimes wants to put you through the machine. He wants to pluck you. And this one, the first one he was doing, he put it in wrong. He was holding on to the head instead of the legs, and the head come off, and the body went flying, right? And he goes like this. Is this what's supposed to happen? You know? Sometimes we feel like that. We're not ducks, and we don't need to be plucked, and don't let Satan come in and tell you so. Aren't you thankful for the love of God? I am thankful for the love of God. I am amazed that he would extend such a great love to me. Where would any of us be without the love of God? Where would any of us be without the love of each other? That love fills us and ought to motivate us to serve the Lord and others. Our love isn't all it should be, but the Lord continues to perfect in us all the things that are necessary so we can not only serve an amazing Savior, we can serve one another in love, right? As we live this journey of faith. Amen? Amen. If you can stand, would you stand? Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Well, you did get a $5 sermon. It's 20 after.
Hey.
Hallelujah. Will you pray this prayer? Father, I'm here today and I love you. And I know that I struggle